Rick Perry earned a big round of applause at last week's GOP presidential debate at the Reagan Library for his record on the death penalty. Moderator Brian Williams pointed to, at the time, 234 executions on Perry's watch. Williams asked if he lost any sleep, wondering whether any of those executed might have been innocent.
No, sir, I've never struggled with that at all.
Perry said there's a fair, thoughtful process for administering the death penalty in Texas.
If you come into our state and you kill one of our children, you kill a police officer, you are involved with another crime and you kill one of our citizens, you will face the ultimate justice in the state of Texas, and that is you will be executed.
What do you make of
Perry's stance is in line with the mainstream of voter opinion. Polls in Texas routinely show strong support for the death penalty. Even national polls find a majority of voters back it. But for all that Texas law and order talk, it should be noted that generally,
Texas governor has very limited power with respect to capital punishment.
Steve Hall was a staffer for the Texas Attorney General's office in the 1980s. He now runs the group Stand Down Texas, which advocates for a review of the state's death penalty system. Hall says, well, in other states, governors sign execution warrants and set execution dates.
That's not the case in Texas. The governor, at least in theory, has a very limited role of being able to hand out a single 30-day reprieve in scheduled executions.
That's a power Perry has only used twice in his 10-plus years in office. Hall points out that decisions to seek the death penalty in the first place are made by local prosecutors, and appeals are decided by elected judges. The governor does appoint members of the Board of Pardons and Paroles, which makes recommendations on whether to commute death sentences or issue reprieves.
I think it's readily acknowledged that members of the Board of Pardons and Parole look to the governor for any bit of signal that he or she would like to advise.
But Perry's critics point to some notable cases where he did play a major role or was conspicuously silent. There's the case of Cameron Todd Willingham. Critics say the governor interfered in a review of that case after fire experts said Willingham was convicted and executed on the basis of faulty science. There were executions of mentally handicapped convicts and those that were juveniles when they committed their crimes, carried out before the U.S. Supreme Court banned executing such people. There were the cases of two Mexican nationals executed over the protests of the Mexican and other governments. One was Humberto Leal, convicted of raping and murdering a San Antonio girl. His lawyers asked for a delay in his execution. They argued he was not given access to legal advice from the Mexican consulate at the time of his arrest, in violation of an international treaty. Some argued executing him in the face of international protests over treaty obligations was not just bad for America's image, but potentially bad for Americans themselves.
This is not to be nice to foreigners or to comply with supranational institutions. It's important to comply because we enter into these treaties to protect our own nationals.
John Bellinger was a State Department lawyer in the Bush administration. He was among half a dozen diplomats who wrote to Governor Perry in June asking for a delay in Leal's execution.
For the U.S. not to comply with our obligations makes it much harder for us to tell other countries that they have to comply with their obligations to Americans.
Perry declined to intervene, and Leal was executed as scheduled. Perry's solid record on the death penalty may be a plus among GOP primary voters, as seen in the response at the California debate last week, but as a major issue in a general election, perhaps not so much.
Well, the reason not so much is that death penalty is like abortion. It's one of those issues that the two parties are different on.
Elaine Kmark was a senior advisor to Al Gore's presidential campaign in 2000. The Gore campaign sought to use George W. Bush's execution record against him. At the time, he held the record for the most executions under a single governor. But Kmark says the issue isn't one that moves voters one way or another.
That being said, if it plays into a larger narrative about the candidate himself or herself, then it can become an issue.
Kmark says the way a candidate talks about their record on the death penalty could be more influential. For instance, she points to the moment in last week's Reagan Library debate when the audience cheered Texas's record of executions.
If it looks like he is bragging about or proud of the fact that he had to put so many people to death, you know, I think that kind of rubs people's sensibilities the wrong way, even if they don't have any particular objection to the death penalty.
As for Dwayne Buck, who's scheduled to be executed tonight, a spokesperson for the governor said Wednesday that the office had not yet received a formal request for a 30-day stay, but when it does, staff will review it like any other request. There is a twist, however. With Governor Perry out of state on the presidential campaign trail, the call will ultimately be made by Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst in his role as acting governor. Matt Largie, KUT News.